back tomorrow when the train's not running. Maybe I can do a little more articulate, make a little more sense. In the meantime, I have a good thought about each and every one of you.
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government-printed currency is not. Call Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Notice, FirstAmendmentRadio.com is looking for new talent. Do you have the gift of gab? Do you got what it takes? Are you ready to go up against Alex Limbaugh, Rush Jones? Are you funny, entertaining, as well as informative? Maybe you know a local talent whom the nation deserves to hear. Send us a sample or email a bio for a live tryout. The nation is waiting to hear a new voice. It may be yours. We'll let the audience decide. Email us today, talent@firstamendmentradio.com. talent@firstamendmentradio.com. Hear it first on firstamendmentradio.com and firstamendmentradio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty.
Listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men.
Good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us tonight. I wasn't able to get through for some reason, getting a busy signal, but here we are. And I'm glad you're with us. I told you last night that Ted Pike was going to be on with us. I called him up, and we're going to reschedule for some time next week because our guest this evening is really much more appropriate to the conversations we've been having and to the situations that we're watching unfold, folks. Let me begin here. Today is Wednesday, by the way. It is the 21st of September in the year 2005. This is our spiritual message. I got this in a card that I got from my sis for my birthday, and it is so beautiful. This is a prayer for hope. Listen. Dear Father, on those days when hope escapes me, when all I am is weary, when darkness is all I see, let your strength be my beacon like a lighthouse on a rock, shining bright enough to dispel the clouds of despair and brings in me new vision. That's beautiful. You know what I ask a lot of times, folks? Simply, Father, please help me to see this differently. And this is exactly what it's saying, isn't it? Let me do it just one more time. Dear Father, on those days when hope escapes me, when all I am is weary, when darkness is all I see, let your strength be my beacon, like a lighthouse on a rock, shining bright enough to dispel the clouds of despair and bring me new vision. I like that. It's comforting. And our guest this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is Jim McCanny. I don't know that there's any of you listening that doesn't know who Jim McCanny is. He's actually, in my short little version, he's an astrophysicist that didn't go along with the scientific controlled scientific outcomes, etc. And he laid his own path. And Jim, thanks for being with us tonight and on short notice today.
Hi, Jackie. That's quite all right, and I'm very glad to be here.
Yeah, well, great. So, you know what I'd like to do right at the beginning here, because a lot of times we get involved in our conversation and time just flies and it's gone, and you have written several books, and I would like it if you would take the time just to give our listeners, in case we do have new listeners that come in, give just a brief background and let them know about your books and how they can get them, Jim.
Sure.
Would you do that? Thank you, honey.
My name is Jim McCanny, and for those of you who have not heard me before, many of you have seen my website, the jmccannyscience.com website, and heard about the books that I've written dealing with space science, which many people think is a topic that might be over their head, when really it is not. In fact, tonight I drove through quite an electrical storm system watching what I call the electrical solar system that we live in, being powered by the sun. What a lot of people don't realize is that the sun's power is not just in the form of light that reaches us, but there's far more power electrically coming off of the sun than there is in the form of light. And my research goes back into the 1970s when I was actively monitoring satellite data from some of the early satellites. And I had done some theoretical work. I was lucky enough to be on the faculty at a Eastern university called Cornell for 2 years when there was a tremendous amount of information and data coming back from space probes. And with my theoretical work and the information coming back from space probes, I put together an entirely new theoretical model for the solar system, and including our weather, which we're seeing right now. And originally, back in the 90s, I worked with some Russian scientists, and I should say there's a lot of information that I won't be able to put out on the air, but this would be in my books and my bio, etc. But the bottom line is, it turns out that electric storms such as hurricanes, tornadoes, and a lot of the weather we see today is actually being manipulated. And it was my theoretical work that showed how this would happen, working in conjunction with Russian scientists. And right now, the storms we're seeing, and this is what Jackie called me up today to talk about, the storms we are seeing, such as Katrina and now Hurricane Rita, are at times controlled and manipulated. And I'm here to tell you how this happens and who is doing it, and why they're doing it. It's a very complicated story, and it's certainly something you're not going to hear on the evening news or read about in a newspaper.
Yes, for sure, Jim. And you know, you said at times. I can't conceive today that whether any place that we're having this natural weather because of the intense manipulation of the weather patterns.
Yes,
and I heard them on the Weather Channel today talking about Rita. Katrina was the second. They were talking about the pressure, 898 millibars or something, and they said that this Rita is the third strongest storm on record, and Katrina was the second, I believe.
Right.
Uh-huh, okay. And thanks again for being here. And you go right ahead and tell us how they're doing this, Jim.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to do is, with Jackie and I talked about this, I'm going to give some information where people can buy my latest book, which is dealing with this topic. I call it the Weather Book. The actual title is a Latin title called Principia Meteorologia, The Physics of Sun-Earth Weather, but it's actually written for the general public. Kids read this book. People of all ages read it. It's written for the general public, and it explains a lot of how the scientific principles came to be, and how the satellites were developed, and who has been doing this actually within our own country, within the United States, and what I call the black ops scientists, the black operations scientists who have been involved in this, the people that you don't see or hear about on the evening news, and the people who control them, basically, the people of what I call the, some people call it New World Order, I call it secret societies that have been running things for a very long time,
and I
manipulating
call them,
our governments. And the book talks about all of this, including the science of how our weather works electrically. But let me briefly give this, and then the website is www. And please write this down carefully, because if you miss one letter, you will end up on one of those CIA sites that's imitation site.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's about 30 of them,
oh,
so you
my.
Have to spell this exactly correct. It's www.jmcc.
That's for Jim McCanny.
No, yeah, but don't write Jim, because you'll end up at one of those other sites.
I just wanted them to J-M as in Mary.
Right. J-M-C-C. I'll start over. www.jmccanneyscience, the word science spelt out, .com. So that's www.jmccanneyscience.com. That's all one string. There's no dots or dashes. And we'll give that again.
And there's a bunch of CIA websites that are mimicking yours.
Right. And if you would say Jim McCanny or JMC with one C or one N, in the middle, any combination of misspellings, some people put two M's and that's wrong, you would end up at every combination possible of misspelling of my name or using Jim or James, anything else will end up at this same CIA website. So anyway, you have to spell it carefully. So once again, it's www.jmccanneyscience.com.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Before I forget this, I wanted to let our listeners know this is tonight. I got a call today from one of our listeners.
Sure.
And he always goes to the library to get into the website. And I don't know what town this is. It's in North Carolina. It's a library. And up until today, he's been able to get into it. And now it's blocked, the sweetliberty.org website. And he thought I should let our listeners know. And any of our listeners who go to the library to get to sweetliberty.org, if you can't get in, will you please give me a buzz or send an email or something to let us know. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah. Well, it's incredible the amount of effort that's being put into blocking the truth.
Yeah.
From getting to the, you can tell, why are they doing this? Why are they blocking these sites? Because these are some of the few places where you can actually get real information these days.
Mm-hmm.
My books are available at the website, and I'll quickly add this, and then we'll go back to conversation, Jackie. My weather book, for the listeners here, it's $25. And you can also send that in the mail to an address, JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E.
You're going a little fast, honey.
Yeah, I'll repeat it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, I'll start over. JMCC, P. P.O. Box 58.
Oh, 58.
Yeah, that's P.O. Box 58.
Okay.
Navarre is N, this is the city, N is in Nancy, A, V is in Victor, A-R-R-E, that's Navarre, Minnesota, 55392. So that's JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, Minnesota, 55392, and... Mm. $25 will send the weather book postage paid, that's included, and it explains, it's 300 pages written for the general public on the entire working of the electrical nature of our storms and how the sun powers them, and also talks about the politics and the manipulation of weather that we're seeing today and why they are doing it, those type of topics. So it's a very comprehensive book dealing with weather. So at any rate, Jackie, back to the storms, Katrina. Clearly, it's such a complex topic, but let me just say there's a tremendous amount of misinformation regarding Katrina and New Orleans. Katrina actually did very little damage to New Orleans.
Yes.
The winds were only 100 miles an hour. And, I mean, that's strong, but still, it was not a Category 5 hurricane. And it only dropped 7 inches of rain on New Orleans. Now, many times we see rainstorms that'll drop 10 inches in the Midwest or your city or wherever you live. And that's a lot, and that would cause flash floodings. But New Orleans gets these kind of rainstorms and thunderstorms with that much rain all the time. So... the storm had already passed, and a day later, about 4 in the morning, all the levees blew magically.
While the people were sleeping.
While the people were sleeping and flooded the area, and these people woke up with the water rushing in their front door and back door. And the actual death toll of Hurricane Katrina was probably less than 100, which is a very large number, of course. But then, due to the flooding of the city, we estimate that there was probably between 50 and 100,000 people that died over the next 3 days of drowning, starvation, of trying to get someplace, of lack of water, etc., in the city of New Orleans. And, of course, these were the poor people that lived in the lower areas. So there's a myth going around that Katrina did the damage to New Orleans. It was actually the flooding. A full day later, the storm had already passed, New Orleans was recovering, and when FEMA went in, their orders were obviously to block any help from getting into the city and to clear it out. And just the other day, on the 19th, which would have been, what would that be, Monday or Sunday, the mayor of New Orleans ordered people to start moving back in. Well, guess what? The storm that we now call Rita was moving up in the Caribbean off into the Atlantic, and they pulled it back down to come into the Gulf of Mexico where it is right now. And you can actually see this manipulation where it was going up and it would have naturally just gone up north and to the east. It was pulled back down and then drug into the Gulf of Mexico where it is now, like Jackie said, one of the most powerful hurricanes. And guess what? It's headed right to the oil refining areas outside of Houston. And they're already talking about $5 a gallon gasoline prices. So these people are all connected. It's very clear when, for example, Bush went down to give his little speech in New Orleans that we will rebuild, etc. That was just a bunch of lies. They had no intention of building New Orleans for the people that used to live there.
No, no. In fact, Jim, I read a news article that some homeowners association or whatever had passed a resolution and decided that none of those people are welcome back. And so they're spread all over the country. And an ABC News report that I read today said that George Bush has declared emergencies, national emergencies, in 41 states, and so they've killed a lot of birds with this one stone.
So they've moved these people out into these other states and then declared a state of emergency because they moved the people there.
That's right. And they said, of course, they did it for the states because it was going to be so hard on the state budget. But if they, by declaring it that state in emergency, then it would be all federal funds that would come in for the people.
These people are such con artists, and they're so slippery. They make Teflon look...
They're slick, yes.
This has been in the planning for a long time, and they're starting to use weather as a way of manipulating the public and manipulating their goals. And the people have not figured it out yet. Actually, a lot of people have started... when I started talking about weather manipulation back in the 90s, and I was on radio shows, people thought I was out of my mind. How could you manipulate a hurricane, or how
right.
could you do this? Well, I had already gone through all the science. I'd worked with Russian atmospheric scientists on this, and they were already understanding how this worked. And at that time, now there have been a lot of people on radio shows stating that the Russians are doing this. I even heard a guy on the radio saying that Iran was manipulating our weather.
Oh, for God's sake.
And it's just absolutely nuts. And the bottom line is, I know for a fact that the Russian scientists, who are very good people, gave the technology to the U.S. Air Force, and I also presented it to them and NOAA, the National Weather Service here, and said this is a way to move hurricanes offshore and to diminish the energy in hurricanes. And I gave them a number of mechanisms to do this. Well, now they're using it for the opposite effect, to manipulate hurricanes, to drag them into areas and then increase the power in the hurricanes for more damage. So like any technology, it's gotten into the wrong hands. And I want to make it clear that it's the people in the United States, the black ops scientists who work under the World Bank, who is trying to force the United States into third world status and bring this country down. A lot of people that I know personally who used to work in the CIA, and by the way, I never worked in the CIA, the people who I know who have worked in there said that it was common knowledge in the security groups in this country that there were groups in the world trying to bring the United States down because the Clinton-Bush people, and who are the front people in the United States,
the puppets,
right, they cannot move into a world government, a one world government scenario, until they bring the United States down. And that's what they're doing.
Yes,
right now.
We were told this probably about 7-8 years ago by Alan Watt, a guest that we've had on many times, a gentleman from Canada who is steeped in history. And he told us that long ago that America was actually founded to bring in the New World Order. That's what the purpose was. And he said when they've done, in other words, their usefulness is done, when they're close enough, he said they plan on bringing the American people to their knees and destroying America, and they're doing it today.
They're doing it right now.
Under our noses.
I had a comment come in just before the show as I was, a lot of people that I have contact me, people that I've worked with for a very long time. And the consensus is that the Hurricane Rita now going into Houston will be used, first of all, to, in a sense, attack and bring it down, and then that'll require FEMA to go in and take control, the federal government. And that will be used to start taking arms away from citizens.
They were doing that in New Orleans.
Right, and they're still doing it. You've noticed there's a total news blackout from New Orleans of what's really going on in that city, and all of this other stuff is just smoke and mirrors because they're going to do the same thing here. Apparently, Houston in Texas is one of the more heavily armed states in the Union, so if they can... bring in a disaster and then say, oh, and that's, if you'd noticed in New Orleans, all the news was, oh, city in chaos and looting and people carrying guns, and that was the image that you got in the news, in the controlled news media. But when in reality, that was a very, very small part. And then we find out that the five guys that they shot on the bridge were actually military U.S. guardsmen who were trying to protect the levees and guard the levees, and they were shot while, you know, during this whole process of blowing down the levees and, you know, and then trying to make this into a scenario where they needed the federal government in there with their troops. And then the foreign troops started coming in, 70,000 foreign troops in New Orleans.
Now, I read, I mean, we know because they announced that Mexicans were coming in, and I also read that Russians were there.
Yeah. Yeah, there are soldiers from, I forget how many different countries in the United States, and they're sitting there waiting now to go into Texas.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, this is coming about very quickly. In Chicago, we personally have just tried to analyze where the critical spots would be. One, of course, Los Angeles. The other would be Chicago. And what if they could do some kind of disaster in Chicago and move all of those people into the Midwest, to all of the cities? They would once again cause the entire country to just lock down with the flood of people that would come out of Chicago. Well, today it was announced that three black people or little children died of what it turns out to be a military-constructed disease. And, of course, these kids had no way of coming up with this on their own. It was obviously planted, but they're starting to do this kind
of
plan.
Now, who announced this?
This was in the news media today. This
was on
CNN.
You mean a disease that, one of the man-made diseases?
One of the man-made diseases.
They actually said it?
Well, that they read off the name, and that's what it is. It's like a, you know, it's not something you get from playing in the playground.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, all of this stuff is going on, and so people have to understand. I should go off a little bit on the topic of who are the Bushes and the Clintons. A lot of people don't understand who these people are and where they came from. Of course, the Bushes belong to banking that go way back. There is now a good deal of evidence that Bill Clinton's real father was one of the industrial bankers of New York and Europe.
The Rockefellers.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's where he actually came from, and it's always been in the background, because if that kind of information were known, it would be more difficult for him to maneuver. So, but the bottom line is Bush and Clintons have been business partners for decades. They operated in the Iran-Contra scandal and in the SNL scandal. All of that money went through the Rose Law Firm, which was Hillary Clinton's, where she worked in Arkansas. So you have to understand, these people have been in business for a long time. The Iran-Contra affair was based on these people running a massive cocaine for arms exchange, and that's where Emmanuel Noriega came from in Nicaragua. He was a CIA plant. He was educated in the United States and put into power to run the drug trade out of Central America. And they had insurance companies and boats and airplanes that would fly into, move into Central America. All of the things that happened down there when they killed those nuns down there.
Yes.
More recently, there was an airplane shot down in, I believe, Peru, where the Navy, the military jet of Peru came in and shot down this minister as he and his family were flying into a remote area. Clearly, they didn't want these people seeing their operations in these parts of the world.
Jim?
Yeah.
What do you know about Chavez in Venezuela? I've been getting some emails. I don't talk about everything I get because you really never know. I mean, but some of these are actually news things that that Chavez had offered, because evidently a lot of they're very oil rich, and that he had offered cheap gas to poor American communities.
Right.
If they would keep the middlemen out.
And, that's right.
And Pat Robertson, on his TV show, called for his assassination.
Right.
I guess he apologized after, but basically said that we should just go in and assassinate the guy. Do you think then that this means that Chavez is not a puppet government leader, or he's one that's gone renegade on them?
Chavez was ousted once, and that was by the CIA who tried to put their puppet in there, and he came back and won and held the election. They tried to kill him a number of times, and he's managed to escape that. And he calls Bush, for example, the cowboy, or Mr. Danger is another name he calls Bush, because, of course, the Bushes and the CIA are out there trying to manipulate. What you have to understand is the CIA is the police force of the World Bank. They go into third world countries, try and maneuver them, then give them large loans that they can't pay back. And then when they call the loan, they go in and say, well, we'll forgive part of your loan if you give us your resources.
Yeah.
And so it's
debt for equity swaps, they call it.
Yeah, and our companies will come in and help you develop. That's what
we have to take about a 90-second break here. I just remembered also that this was on the news, that the mayor of New Orleans, I think he was on one of the nightly talk shows, and he made a statement that he was afraid that the CIA was going to take him out, and that if he came up missing, just know that's what happened.
Wow.
Now, that could have been a ploy, too, because the guy looks like he's pretty inside connected, but it's hard to say. Maybe he said it publicly to cover his butt. You know what I'm saying?
I suspect, because he's been trying to repopulate New Orleans, and they've been trying to...
We're going to be right back, folks.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate churched friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
We're back with Jim McCanny. Folks, let me give you my address once again for those of you who would like to see this broadcast stay on the air, because we need a whole bunch of you real soon to come forth, or we're going to have to fold it up, and I just don't know if this is the time that we should be folding this broadcast up. The address, if you want to help sponsor, we're 7 full years, by the way, of listener-sponsored broadcasting, actually into our 8th year. That's really a miracle. The address is Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, M-I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936. And thank you to those of you who are coming forth. I have noticed in the past week or so that our sponsorship is picking up, and that's very uplifting.
Hello?
And Jim? Hello, Jim.
I'm on the radio.
Uh-oh.
Talk to you later.
Oh, no. I think he took another phone call. He'll be back with us in just a minute, folks.
Oh, Jackie?
Yes, Jim.
Okay, sorry, Hedda.
No, that's okay.
Just trying to keep track of some people here. We had this tremendous storm move through, and so I'm just getting reports. Yeah, a big part of the northern metro area in Minneapolis has just been trashed.
I saw that on the Weather Channel, that they were having tornadoes in Minnesota,
right.
And I thought, oh, my, I wonder if it's in Jim's area.
Yep, I drove partly through that tonight on my way here. I had to take detours, literally driving almost like an airplane, following the clouds, driving around and south and then back over and trying to avoid the storms. And at one point, there was stuff flying all over the highway and swirling, so I was near some.
Oh,
there,
wow.
We've had a number of tornadoes here, so I was probably very near one.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah, and what we're seeing here is a combination of severe electrical conditions in the solar system, which are getting far worse, plus manipulated weather. And
Jim.
Yes.
Do you know why it's getting worse? I wondered if the nearness of Mars, they say that the planet Mars is going to continue to come closer and closer till October 31st when it reaches its zenith, and they say that it'll be closer to the Earth than it has been in over 1,000 years. And does that have anything to do with any of this?
Well, it's an electrical alignment. Mars physically is just a small dot up in the sky, and I mean, so it's quite far away. It's probably almost as far away as the sun is.
Oh.
Let's put it that way. So it's not really near us, and Mars is a small planet. And so just in relative terms, it's not near us. But what's going on is the electrical conditions in the solar system, all of the planets, and we are also aligned with Uranus and Neptune, two of the far planets, which are very far away, which typically wouldn't have any effect on us. They're, of course, tens of times farther than Mars. And but anyway, the point is that electrically there's a tremendous amount of electrical activity in the solar system, and that's what's driving our weather. And
said it's getting worse. What causes that?
Well, the sun itself, which I look at every day through the satellites that are in orbit around the Earth and in space, I monitor the satellite activity, and of course, don't look at the sun with your eyes. That's not what I mean. I mean, I'm monitoring these through satellites. But the sun is just incredibly powerful. We've never seen the sun before like it is right now. And, of course, I've talked about this on your show before, the possibility of objects that would come into the solar system and also enhance that electrical nature of the sun.
Okay.
And we really don't know everything that's going on here, but the predictions that have come down to us from the ancients are very clear that then when you start seeing this kind of activity...
Well, say what the ancients say, because our listeners probably don't know.
Yeah, basically you'll see the signs in the heavens and in the sky, and basically the weather will get more severe, more frequent, the droughts will be longer, the flooding will be more severe. And so the weather, the beautiful weather that we've enjoyed for maybe a few thousand years is coming to an end. We're in the process, what they are measuring in terms of what they call global warming is not due to man-made emissions, has nothing to do with it. It's due to the sun's tremendous power that puts out this energy every day.
Well.
And people can understand this by the simple fact that as the Earth turns around at night, we drop, 15 or 20 degrees in temperature over the night?
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? That tells us then that when the Earth turns around and the sun hits us again and it heats up again, this energy is coming to us from the sun. It's and the Earth can release this energy very quickly. So the point is that when our globe as a whole starts warming up, which we are seeing it doing, this is due to the sun causing this, not some, even though we should not be polluting this wonderful planet we live on, the whole issue that man is somehow creating this is simply false.
Right.
But the solar system is very energetic, and it's being powered by the sun. It's electrical in nature. There are thousands of times more energy coming off the sun in the form of electrical energy than there is in the form of light.
Okay, I have a question here.
Sure.
I thought about it earlier when you were talking about the, because you've made it very clear that, well, you know, we've been told that the tide is because of gravity pull from the moon and et cetera, and then we find out by reading your book and talking to you, and it makes all the sense in the world, it's electromagnetic energy, and it's a tug of war that's going on. There's a book called The Body Electric, and I want to know if you know about that book, and is it worth reading? Is the information in the book accurate?
Now, who's written this?
I forgot. I've got the book out there in my library.
I would have to, look at it offline.
Okay, you don't know about it then.
No, and when they say body, do they mean like the human body?
Yeah, the body electric.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of research done, and of course, going back into ancient Oriental Chinese medicine, they dealt with magnetics and that type of healing. Where, in fact, acupuncture is a form of that, where you sensitize a certain area with a pin, and that drives electrical currents and causes electrical current flows in the body. So, of course, this has been known about for thousands of years.
Okay.
But whether that particular book is valid,
you don't know. Okay, well, I'll get the book off the shelf. I know exactly where it is. And
we can talk about it offline.
Yes, exactly. And I'm looking at the clock, and we've got about 17 minutes left, 18 minutes, and you were going to tell us how they steer the hurricanes.
Right. Here's how it's done, and you'll hear, first of all, you'll hear all kinds of misinformation on radio programs. If you listen to the National Weather Service, they're talking about the ocean heating these storms up. The ocean temperature has nothing to do with hurricanes. We've seen hurricanes in the North Atlantic. We've seen hurricanes on Mars where there are no oceans at all. So this misinformation, and then people try and tell you that global warming is causing the hurricanes to become more severe, this is all misinformation. The hurricane, to understand how you manipulate a hurricane, you have to understand what forms a hurricane. A hurricane is formed when electrical currents flow from the ionosphere. That's the layer of gas that's about 100 miles up from the surface of the Earth, that's around the Earth. And this is an ionized, basically, cloud of gas that's in our upper atmosphere. And when storm systems form down on the ocean, they electrically connect, kind of like a finger sticking up off of the ocean. The cloud systems electrically connect to the ionosphere. And once the electrical currents start flowing, some of these storms get to the point where there's a tremendous amount of current flowing, and it spirals up into towards the ionosphere, and that's what causes the eye of the hurricane to form, and that's what drives the energy which forms the hurricane. And that's what my book explains, the weather book that I was talking about earlier. It goes into a lot of detail. So now if you understand what causes a hurricane, now you can manipulate it and cause it to grow and move in the direction you want. For example, and what they're doing now is they're using military satellites that we were told were sent up to fight terrorism and to pick up cell phone transmissions. These satellites, when they sent them up, they were far too big for that kind of a function. And what they were sending up with your tax dollars were large laser satellites. And what they can do is shine this laser beam down in through the eye of a hurricane and ionize the path and enhance that electrical current which is driving the hurricane. And if you move that beam off to one side of the eye, you can cause the hurricane to move in that direction. So they can lead these things around like putting a ring in its nose. And we've seen hurricanes where they've actually experimented starting and stopping them and moving them north and then east and then south and dragging them around.
And we saw that with one of the hurricanes in Florida.
Right, Hurricane Jean.
Okay, and it was going right up straight, and it was going to, you know, it hit an island, but then instead of keeping going, it made a U-turn.
Right, it went east and then south and then came back around, and then they were starting to say, oh, well, this is the new normal path of a hurricane.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And, in fact, NOAA, the National Weather Service, recently started to give two predicted paths, one with a loop-de-loop. Well, that's what we call a loop-de-loop now. And the normal path that their computers predicted, because you have to understand that the people at NOAA are completely in the dark about the fact that these storms are being manipulated.
Other than those at the top.
Yeah, that's right. And they are putting out this misinformation. You have to understand that even though people have a PhD or have a lot of schooling, mainly what they did is they read a textbook and they can spit the information back at you because that's what they were trained to do. That's
like,
how they got a PhD.
They
read a book. They listened to what some guy told them. They wrote it down on a test and got an A. So they think that what they know is true.
Yeah.
And that's why I have just completely moved away from any relationship with those universities and people, because they are so in the dark about how things really work.
In your book, Comets,
The Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes.
And Earth Changes. You really did a wonderful job of explaining it in a way that a layperson can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you mentioned the book earlier, but what I was thinking about is these people that get their A's on their tests and think it's because it's right, and that comets are dirty snowballs. And in your book, you explain what an actual comet is.
Right.
And when I was getting the children, my grandchildren started in homeschooling, going through Ashy's science book, one chapter on comets, and one of the first things it said was, comets are dirty snowballs. And I gave Ashy your book to read. And, you know, she had to do report on it and know that she understood it. And she was able to understand that book. So
right.
For our listeners who have children that are learning this erroneous stuff in school, I really recommend that book. It was outrageous.
Yeah, the let me explain the four-book series, because I talked about the weather book, which is the fourth book in the series, but you can read it by itself. The first book is called, and these are my recent books, my publications go back to the 70s, but in the last 5 years I put these books out for the public, so they really understand the history and nature of the solar system and comets and the electrical situation.
And NASA.
And NASA and the politics of science, etc. But the first book is called Planet X, Comets and Earth Changes, and it outlines the basic theory and how all of this works. The second book is actually a little pamphlet. It's called Surviving Planet X Passage. And it explains what you would see if a big, large, new comet, planet, and they are one and the same, new formation came into the solar system, and how to survive it. It doesn't tell you, like, what kind of survival things to buy. It tells you what you're going to see and what kind of Earth changes are going to occur. And it also tells how to rebuild a calendar from a pile of rocks, and we find these rock calendars all over the world when people had to survive after great devastations. And that's a little pamphlet called Surviving Planet X Passage. The third book is called Atlantis to Tesla, The Colbrun Connection. And the Colbrun is an ancient text, one of the ones that I use for my research, talking about the ancient comet activity, these huge comets that would come into the solar system and do a tremendous amount of damage to Earth. And it also talks about the secret societies who ruled the world before these comets came through and knows about them and does not want you to know about them. And their goal is to be in charge when these things come through and to come out the other end in charge again. And their goal is to keep the world in the dark about these and then provide for themselves. And this is going on right now. The Bushes and the Clintons and the other world so so-called leaders are building cave cities, fortifying and stocking them with all sorts of medical supplies and food so that they will survive any catastrophes and the people up here will just be left out to hang out to dry, so to speak.
Jim?
Yes?
You know, that sounds so weird to me because when you read Velikovsky's book, not Earth in Upheaval, but the first one,
The World's in Collision,
you know, it's hit and miss. You could be living in an underground cave and never be able to get out of that thing again.
Right, and that's absolutely the truth. And that's why these people have depended on these scientists who are really ignorant about what's really going to happen and what's going on in the solar system.
That's the last place I think I'd like to be. I
would not want to be in a cave, because when this starts rocking and rolling, those caves are going to shatter and those people are going to have one expensive tomb.
And then it has been said, too, that a lot of them are buying property way up high in the mountains. And when you read Velikovsky's book, you see that some of the mountains were just totally shattered.
Right.
As the Earth crust was being pulled around.
Right, yeah. And so there's a famous saying, and that this is, a lot of this is predicted and talked about in the Old Testament, a lot of Christ's information that he gave when he was talking, a lot of the information that has come through the prophets of various nationalities who understood this past. It's very simple, and what they say is that you will be saved by your faith alone. And it kind of tells you that, of course, you have to store up and provide for your family, and that's clear. Anybody would do that.
In case you do make it through it.
Yeah, but the other thing is that you better be physically and mentally and spiritually prepared.
Spiritually, yes.
Or you won't make it through the first 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And a guy, let me just be specific, a guy like George Bush, who flies over New Orleans in his 747, you know, presidential, Air One limo airplane, supposedly, and looks down at the people being flooded and flies off to Washington. A guy like that is a chicken, and he will be the first one to squeal and holler like a stuck pig when this comes down, because he is going to try, and those kind of people will depend on all of their preparations, and they don't have the physical or mental ability or the spiritual ability to understand what's happening.
And, you know, I've thought about this. I thought, and not like I sit around thinking about it, but you know how thoughts flow through your mind? It occurred to me, and I agree with you, that we should be as prepared as possible. We should have fresh water stored, if possible, and foods, and especially dried beans and corn and all of the things that'll keep like that and provide protein, etc. But in my mind, I'm not saying this is so, but it's the way it feels to me. If we are here for a purpose and our purpose is fulfilled, then we're gone. And if our purpose isn't fulfilled yet, then we're not gone. And in a sense, when I said it's hit and miss, they could nuke a doggone city, Jim, and there could be people who survive it and actually are able to get out and could be the remnant, people that maybe aren't even prepared. So for us, number one, and I've said this to our listeners, not to live in fear and not to live in hopelessness, but to put our house in order. And by that, I mean us and our relationships with our loved ones, with our the way we be as human beings. To me, there couldn't be anything more important today than that.
That's absolutely, absolutely correct. And that's the biggest thing. And people say, they ask me all the time, what should I do? How can I get ready? Or people want to know, for example, when is Planet X going to be here? And my response is, don't worry about it. Because there might be other things that happen in the middle. We have man-made disasters occurring right now.
That's right.
And so you can't worry about when is something going to happen. And you know, imagine the people living in New Orleans. They didn't know 2 months ago that their city wouldn't be there. If you would have gone down the street in New Orleans, and I was there in May. I went to a scientific conference. I used to live in New Orleans. I went to Tulane University. If you would have walked down the street and said, you know, there's going to be a day when New Orleans isn't going to be here, and there's going to be foreign troops in here, and all you people are going to have to leave. They would have looked at you like you were out of your mind.
Except it was predicted by the Popular Mechanics magazine on September 11th, 2001 edition. There's an article in there. I have not yet sent it to Darren. I've got it all formatted and ready to go. And the title of it is New Orleans is Sinking. This was on 9-1-1, Jim. And they predicted what's happened today with the levees breaking and, quote, breaking and the flooding and all that. They predicted it all.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you just a quick anecdote. When I was in New Orleans, I went around and I took the streetcar up by Tulane from downtown where I had the was at the scientific conference, and I went to Audubon Park where I used to spend a lot of time and study and think, and beautiful, beautiful park in uptown New Orleans. And I got on the streetcar, went all the way to the end of the streetcar line, and I came around and I turned back and I was talking to people on the streetcar, and I looked up and the number of the streetcar I was on was 911.
Oh, wow.
And I took a picture of it.
And you oh, wow.
I just very strange.
This
you know,
was in May?
In May, the end of May, when I was at the American Geophysical Union meeting.
Well, I don't believe that that Popular Mechanics article was a coincidence, because besides 911, this is probably one of the worst disasters that, at least in our time and in you know, near history.
Right. And, is, you know, the thing is also the whole Biloxi Coast.
And man-made.
Coast, right. This was a man-made hurricane.
Yes.
It was guided in there specifically to destroy that area.
Now, okay, here's a question. I wondered about this. You were going to mention Biloxi. I've been reading reports. In fact, I read them to our listeners because it looks like the brunt of the storm actually hit Biloxi and Gulfport.
Right.
Mississippi. According to the guy who was, he called it Ground Zero Report, he
right.
said that the evidence is that there was a 35, he said, a 35, freaking 35-foot tsunami-type wave that went in there. My
right.
question is, did they miss their mark, or did Mississippi get the hit the way they planned?
Now, here's what actually happened to the storm, and you have to understand that the real target of Katrina was two oil refineries that were south and east of New Orleans, off towards Biloxi.
Okay.
They were the largest refineries in the country. Not only did they refine about 6% of our oil, they were responsible for initial refining and then moving probably 25% of our oil off to New York, Atlanta, and over to Texas.
Okay.
So they were crucial, and it said right in the oil futures report, which I actually have printed on my homepage. If you dig around far enough, you'll find it. It says that those were the two refineries that were missed with the past five hurricanes that came into the Mobile area.
Wow.
In the past year. You have to understand that Katrina was the fifth hurricane to hit that area in less than 12 months. These are manipulated storms. And believe me, they wanted to hit those two refineries, and they did. And I'll tell you the actual path of Katrina, because we just have about a minute here. It came up when it was south of New Orleans, about 100 miles south. It was actually headed west of New Orleans. It made a quick right turn, headed due north towards New Orleans. As soon as it touched that breach of land that's about 50 miles south of New Orleans, it made a sharp 90-degree right turn and headed straight for those two refineries. When it went over those two refineries, it made a left, and they couldn't stop turning it very quickly, so it actually hit Biloxi, and then it went due north again. This is the actual path that Katrina hit.
Oh,
and by the time it got up by New Orleans, it had diminished to a category.